Hello, dear listeners, and thanks for tuning in to Master English with Tim, the podcast where I help you to master English. Before we start with this week's episode, which is the fifth episode in my mini course on the verb tenses, I want to share a small fact with you. In last week's episode, we passed the 1,000-minute recording mark. That's a big milestone, and I want to thank everyone for being part of it. This week, I'm continuing, like I said, my mini course on the verb tenses. I've said this before, but if you want to construct questions and other sentence types well in the most important verb tenses, then you need to know all of the auxiliary verbs. That's because auxiliary verbs are part of every verb tense and are part of questions and other sentence types. Auxiliary verbs are also vocabulary, and they are some of the most frequently used vocabulary in the language. In episodes 51, 52, 53, and 54, we already worked on all of the modal auxiliary verbs. That means we are ready to talk about the other type of auxiliary verb, which is non-modal auxiliary verbs. There are three non-modal auxiliary verbs: be, do, and have. In this episode, I'm going to focus on just one of them. Be. This is a verb that a surprisingly large number of people who are learning English make mistakes with, either by not using it when they need to, or by putting it in places where it should not be. Speakers of certain languages tend to have more problems with be than others. If you speak Russian, Arabic, Chinese, Korean, or Japanese, then your language does not use be in the same way that English does, and this tends to cause problems, including even for people with B2 level English. Typical mistakes I hear from Russian speakers, the group I have the most experience with, include leaving out be when it's needed, putting it in places where there should be no word at all, and incorrectly using it instead of auxiliary verbs. All of these things sound a little bit bad, it's not a tragedy, but it sounds better for your English if you don't make those mistakes. You might think that you have no problems with be, and you might even be right, especially if your level of English is B2 or above. Still, even if your level of English is pretty high, the material in this episode could be a useful review for you, and it could also be something you'd like to share with your friends whose level of English isn't quite as high as yours yet. It's also true that you might be underestimating the verb be. It has 7 different uses, 5 where be is used alone, and 2 additional ones where be must be used together with another verb. Before we get started with the meanings of be, we need to do 2 things. Let's do the first one, which is to review the forms of be in the present tense, because that's where my students have the most problems. Not with choosing the right form so much, but rather more with forgetting to use be at all. So here are the forms: I am, you are, she is, he is, it is, we are, they are. Now let's do the contractions for these forms. I'm, you're, she's, he's, it's, we're, there. Okay, the second thing we need to do is talk about 2 basic terms from grammar that we will use in this episode. The first term is subject. A subject is a person, place, or thing that does an action. Let's find the subject in 3 different sentences. Sentence 1. Patrick reads the news every morning. So what's the action? The action is read. So the person who does that action, the person who reads, is Patrick. So the subject is Patrick. What about the word news? Well, no, news is not a subject. It's an object. It receives an action. It does not do the action. Okay, sentence 2. Where does Steve live? The action is live, and the person who does this action is Steve. So Steve is the subject. Third and last, we go to North Carolina every summer. The action is go, and who does this action? We. So we is the subject of the sentence. The other places and things in the sentence are not subjects. They do not do any actions. Now, for adjectives, the second term we need to work on is adjectives. Adjectives are words that describe a person, place, or thing. Some adjectives are fast, hungry, important, green, happy, and expensive. Sorry about that noise. I'm recording from a hotel room, and a motorcycle just drove past. Anyway, okay, now we can get started on the meanings of the verb be. Let's talk about the first meaning. Instead of telling you the meaning directly, I will give you some examples of sentences with be with just one meaning, and see if you can guess what the meaning is yourself. Again, this is the first meaning out of 5. So, 12 examples, sorry. Sentence 1. This is important, so please listen. 2. I'm hungry. 3. The sky is blue. 4. The supermarket is closed. 5. The beach is empty today. 6. I'm sorry, I'm not interested. 7. Water is essential for life. 8. Your hair is very beautiful. 9. Everyone is happy with the results. 10. This restaurant is too expensive. 11. Your ideas are very interesting. 12th and last, your text is full of mistakes. So, the meaning of be in all of these sentences was description, saying what quality the subject of the sentence has. In every one of these sentences, we have a subject at the beginning, and then a form of be. So am, is, or are, and then an adjective. So subject, then am, is, or are, and then an adjective. Why do we need to put be between the subject and the adjective? Well, it's just a rule of English grammar. People will understand you if you leave be out, but you will sound a bit like a caveman. By the way, I'd like to make a quick comparison with Russian. In all of these sentences in Russian, there is no verb быть or be, but if you put these sentences in the past tense instead of the present, then you will find that there is a verb be. The sky was blue, небо было голубым, the beach was empty, пляж был пустой. So if you're a Russian speaker, maybe that will help you to transfer the verb быть from the past into the present. So if you're using быть in the past tense in Russian, well, you're probably going to be using it in the present tense in English too. So let's move on to the next meaning of be. Again, I will give you examples, and you try to guess yourself what the meaning of be is. 6 examples. 1. I'm a teacher. 2. Today is Monday. 3. London is the capital of Great Britain. 4. Tigers are a type of cat. 5. My sister is a doctor. 6th and last. Do you know Kate? Yes, but we are not friends. So, maybe you were able to guess that be is used to say that two things are equal or the same. It's also common to add an adjective to the second noun. Four examples. 1. That's a good idea. 2. Today is a good day. 3. Brazil is the biggest country in Latin America. 4th and last, you are a very interesting person. Alright, that's enough of that meaning of be. Let's move on to the next one. Same deal. I give you some example sentences, all with the same meaning of be, and you try to understand what be means in them. 7 examples. 1. Tim is here. 2. Tim is there. 3. I am at the bus stop. 4. Your car is in the garage. 5. The cat is under the bed. 6. Our house is next to a park. 7th and last. Where are my keys? So, what is the meaning of be in these sentences? You've probably guessed it. The meaning is physical location. Since we're already talking about physical location, let's do some more examples, because examples never hurt. We'll also use some different prepositions. Prepositions are words like at, or in, or by, or under. 9 more examples. 1. My kids are at the park. 2. We are at the beach right now. 3. The post office is behind the train station. 4. Baghdad is between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. 5. My house is by a supermarket and a bus stop. 6. I'm with my friends. I will call you later. 7. We have to drive faster. We are still far from the airport. 8. Did you find my keys? Yes, they are next to your bed. 9th and last. Where are you? We are with Elena. We are at a cafe. Now we can continue to the next meaning of be. 5 examples with the same meaning. Try to guess what the meaning is. 1. My birthday is on Wednesday. 2. The staff meeting is at 3 p.m. 3. Christmas is in December. 4. Easter is in April this year. 5. The basketball game is after school. Again, I think it's easy to see what the meaning of be is here. It's about location in time when something happens. Let's move on to the next meaning of be. This one is more complicated and disorganized, so let me give you the answer first. We already talked about location, then location in time. Both of those categories are about the relationship between two things, how two things are positioned in relation to one another. Where is the cat? The cat is under the bed. We're talking about the relationship between the cat and the bed. What kind of relationship is it? Well, the cat is under it. When is the staff meeting? It's after lunch. Well, in the next meeting, I'm about to tell you about, it's also about the relationships between two things, but the relationships are everything except location and time. Here are four examples. 1. This gift is for you. 2. This book is about dinosaurs. 3. She is like her sister. This is not a verb here. This does not mean that she thinks good things about her sister. It means that she's similar to her sister. So like here is a preposition. She is like her sister. 4th and last, you are like a brother to me. Okay, we have now done 5 meanings of be, and this is a good time to look at how we make different sentence types using all of them. Really, it's very easy. Let's start with negative statements, ones with not. For example, we are not ready yet. All negative statements use the formula S plus A plus N. That's S-A-N. And that means subject, auxiliary, and then not. So in sentences with the verb be, we already have an auxiliary verb because be is an auxiliary. So we just add not to the sentence. Look at the PDF you can find on my website to see how the example sentences I'm going to read in a second use that S-A-N formula. 5 examples. 1. I'm not a teacher. 2. Sorry, your idea isn't very interesting. 3. New York isn't the capital of the United States. 4. Hamburgers aren't the healthiest food. 5th and last. I'm not like the other people in my family. Okay, now let's go to yes-no questions. For example, are you a teacher is a yes-no question because we answer it with yes or no. Yes-no questions use the very simple formula A plus S, which is auxiliary, and then subject. Again, take a look at the PDF to see examples of sentences using the simple A plus S formula in an easy-to-understand table format. 5 examples. 1. Is the soup spicy? 2. Are you a doctor? 3. Are you at work now? 4. Is the meeting after lunch? 5th and last, is the gift for us? Okay, finally we can do WH questions. These are questions which start with question words like who, what, where, why, when, whose, and how. WH questions use the same A plus S formula of yes-no questions and add a question word at the beginning of the formula. So the final formula for WH questions is QU plus A plus S. Or question word, auxiliary, subject. 1. So examples, how many examples we got? Actually, we've got 15 of them. So, 1. How is the soup? 2. How spicy is the soup? 3. How long is the flight to Chicago? 4. Why is he late? 5. Why is your face red? 6. Why is the hotel room so expensive? 7. Where am I? 8. Where is my telephone? 9. Where is the train station? 10. When is the staff meeting? 11. When is your birthday? 12. What is the movie about? 13. What is this tool for? 14. Who is this message for? 15. What is your brother like? Okay, that is all for now. Thanks everyone for listening, and I will see you all next week.